The U.S. healthcare system has three defining characteristics. One, it performs miracles. Two, it's more costly than any in the world. And three, it performs less well at keeping Americans healthy than many other countries that spend a whole lot less. Oh, yeah, and as recently as 2007, 45 million Americans had no health insurance, forcing many of them to decide between health care and bankruptcy. Well, now we've got the Affordable Care Act, which even the president calls Obamacare, and the country is seriously divided over whether it's any good. Stephen Brill gives an epic account of how health care reform happened and what results it's yielded in his new book. It's called America's Bitter Pill: Money, Politics, Backroom Deals, and the Fight to Fix Our Broken Health Care System. Stephen Brill is a journalist, a best-selling author, a media mogul, and an entrepreneur. He founded the American Lawyer magazine, Court TV, and the magazine Brill's Content. Stephen Brill, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Well, while you were working on this book, you had a health emergency and had to have your chest cracked open for open heart surgery. How did that give you a better understanding about our healthcare system?
I didn't plan it that way, but one of my kids accused me of an over-the-top act of undercover reporting. Not true. And my chest wasn't cracked open. It was sawed open with an electric saw. What happened was at the tail end of my reporting on the saga of Obamacare, indeed on the very last day of enrollment in the first year of the exchanges, March 31, after I'd had a routine checkup, my very careful cardiologist, totally routine checkup, noticed something wrong with my pulse. One test led to another, and of course, given the kind of reporting I've been doing, when he said I needed this test and that test, I thought, well, is even this guy trying to add to, healthcare bills with unnecessary testing? And it turned out I had what's called an aortic aneurysm. And I told him, I said, you got to be crazy. I'm fine. He said, well, no. There is a 17% chance that this bubble will burst in any given year, and you will not even get to the emergency room. So I found myself in the midst of going through my notes and figuring out all my reporting for this book in a hospital bed with about to have open heart surgery the next day. And in fact, the book opens with a dream I have that night about how the head of the hospital is not going to let me into the operating room because he thinks I'm there to, to rat them out or something.
About all their over expenses, how they're spending too much.
And it taught me something. Could be because in the dream I say, listen, I know I wrote about hospitals charging $77 for a box of gauze pads in their so-called charge master. I said, I'll take 100 boxes of your gauze pads. Just let me in. And what that told me in real life, not in my dream, it reminded me emotionally what we all know intellectually, which is that when it's your health or a loved one's health, you're not thinking about the bill. You're not worrying about the cost. You're going to worry about the cost later on for sure. You just want to get out of the pain you're in or the fear you're in or the fear that a loved one is in. And that's why one of the central arguments in this book is that you can't have a marketplace for healthcare the way you can have a marketplace for cell phones or for shoes or for theater tickets. We're the only country that has ever lived with the illusion that you can have that marketplace. We're the only country that doesn't regulate the cost of prescription drugs. We're the only country that allows healthcare to be sold on the private marketplace. And as you pointed out, our costs are much, much higher and our results are no better.
Well, the pitch for the Affordable Care Act was that it will provide health insurance for uninsured Americans and provide them with a measure of physical and financial safety. How's it worked out?
That it did. And it is a great signature accomplishment and almost completely erases a national disgrace, which is that we're the only country, a developed country in the world, where almost everyone gets health care. We're moving now in that direction. That's the good news. The bad news is we did it by basically adopting a slightly more conservative version of a plan that Richard Nixon proposed in the 1970s, which had a mandate that employers had to provide insurance, had government subsidies for people to buy the insurance if they didn't get it from their employer, and did nothing to control prices. And it's a slightly more conservative version of what Governor Romney did in Massachusetts. So the irony of ironies is that the Democrats, the president, Democrats in the Senate especially, decided after decades of trying to do reforms, led by Ted Kennedy, trying to do reforms the Democratic way, let's just give in to the Republicans. Let's do their plan, in essence. And imagine their surprise when the Republicans still oppose it, and oppose it as if it's some left-wing scheme. When in fact, you know, the Republicans say that Obamacare was a government takeover of healthcare. It's exactly the opposite. It's the government giving citizens through subsidies or by putting them on Medicaid the money to buy healthcare in the private marketplace, enriching the same drug companies and medical device makers and so-called nonprofit hospitals that have gotten rich in the first place.
You very closely follow the history of the Affordable Care Act. And looking back at it now, you know, a lot of folks say we got the best thing we could have gotten under those political circumstances.
I think that's probably right. I think where that breaks down is the Obama administration has not been good at implementing it. And that's not simply the most obvious example, which is the way they completely screwed up the launch of the website, despite the warnings of people in the White House on the president's economic staff that they needed outside management. The warnings that began on the first day, I should add. It's not they not only botched that, but they botched writing various regulations. It took them 5 years until just last week, basically, to write a regulation that stops nonprofit hospitals from using bill collectors and lawsuits to charge poor people who show up in the emergency room and can't pay their bills, to charge them their so-called charge master list prices, which has been responsible for literally 60% of the personal bankruptcies in this country. There is a terrific provision in Obamacare that deals with that. It's a provision, I should note, that was inserted by Senator Charles Grassley, an Iowa Republican, and the Obama administration took 5 years to write the regs. I could have written that reg in an hour and a half.
Stephen Brill is my guest, and we're talking about his new book that looks at extensively at the history of how we got the Affordable Care Act and what it means. It's called America's Bitter Pill. Now, another promise of the Affordable Care Act is that it would put in place some measures to try to reduce this crippling overall cost of health care. How's it worked on that front?
It hasn't. And there's a parallel with what happened in Massachusetts. When Governor Romney wanted to fix health care in Massachusetts, the advice he got was, well, there are two things about healthcare reform. One is get people more coverage, and the other is you got to do something about the cost. And basically what they decided with Romney Care was let's do number one and we'll get to number two when we can get to it because it's politically impossible. On the national stage, that's true in spades. If you think of everything we know about how Washington works and doesn't work, if you take the special interests, the hospitals, the drug companies, the device makers, who are making so much money that they represent one-sixth of the country's economy. They represent an economy the size of France. If you cut costs in healthcare, you're taking away income from them. They have a lobbying arsenal that allows them to spend four times as much on lobbying as the next highest lobbying industry, which is the military-industrial complex. We used to be afraid of the military-industrial complex lobbying in Washington. They are nothing compared to the healthcare industry. So, given that, what comes out of Washington when you try to reform something? The kind of reform that the people in charge will allow to happen, the people in charge being the special interests. So, what Obamacare doesn't do is it doesn't control the price of drugs in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't control the activity, except with that debt collection piece that I mentioned, the activity of nonprofit hospitals. It doesn't control the salaries of their executives, which are inordinate. It doesn't control their prices. It doesn't control the price of device makers, medical device makers. It doesn't do anything except for a few pilot projects to tackle costs. And if they had tried to do it, it wouldn't have passed.
Stephen Brill, his new book is called America's Bitter Pill, Money, Politics, Backroom Deals, and the Fight to Fix Our Broken Healthcare System. And he's also working on a project with former New York Times editor Jill Abramson to encourage long-form journalism, longer than a long article, shorter than a book, that's going to appear on the web sometime in the not-too-distant future. Coming up on The Record, sculptures that do double duty as musical instruments. I'm Ross Reynolds.